The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day. There must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
look at this morning.
I'm looking at something that normally I would feel really bad about for quite a long time, and I'm feeling some excitement this morning. And like was talked about last Friday night, I had my equivalent of forgetting to order the napkins and not realizing it until it was lunchtime, and you know, there were no napkins. And, and I.
So for anyone who may have missed that, there was a recent discovery that we had no napkins during retreat, and
it was lunch.
And it was lunch. So your equivalent is and that is.
And I had this experience of driving the retreatants yesterday to the fire station, and you know, somebody was just like, oh yeah. I remembered everything, you know. I got my phone, I got my credit card, I got my, you know, I got my retreatants. She was just like, she was being the right person, you know, doing the right job, and just, you know, and she had a little phone on her lap, and she put a little earbud in, and, you know, she was just like, you know, congratulating herself instead of being present, you know. In that. And, and, you know, did her job, and then she realized about 2.5 hours into the trip, looked at the phone and realized the phone wasn't on. And then found out that folks had been trying to call her over and over and over again. And there's that, there's a cartoon, I think it's maybe Roadrunner or Wile E. Coyote, where the steamroller comes over. Wile E. Coyote is just about, I think, ready to get the Roadrunner, and then, you know, the steamroller, and he's just flattened. And,
and there are lots of equivalents to that, I remember.
Yeah. And that was like kind of the feeling at the moment, you know, like, oh man, went from being the right great person to just like. You know, and watched how conditioning is, you know, just right away went to, of course, as Sherry was pointing this out on Friday, you always got to look for somebody to blame, because that makes everything better, right?
Right, because you can't, the pressure can't be going back at you for that long time. It has to be directed back out again this way.
Right, so, you know, it has to be this darn old phone, you know, it's like everybody else has new phones, I can't even read the screen on here. And, I really like this one, it threw out to me, it must have been one of the retreats. I guess with their magical telescoping arm, they reach out and turn the, you know, turn the phone, you know, just throwing out all these stuff to create separation and, you know, try and make it, find a reason for this having happened the way it happened.
Because you had, who you were up until that point was someone who just got, the retreatants got the vehicle, got the phone, got the earbud in your ear, driving off.
Yeah,
and it's all
I'm just the right person.
You're just the right person,
Like, I'm going to be nominated for BART driver of the
year.
So then, it just occurred to me, like, this is not an uncommon experience. You know, maybe the content is definitely changing all the time. I know this experience over and over and over again. Doing something I feel really great about, or something that I really want to do, and then something coming in to just like take it all away and make me feel like, well, obviously I'm not qualified to do that, or I can't do that, or I'm never going to get to do that again.
Yeah, well, it's very, very similar to what we were looking at on the night when the napkin issue was brought up, too. It's like there's a it's a setup. It's like, it feels like a setup, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there she is. She's ready to go out. You know, it's like the equivalent of, you know, Charlie Brown kicking the football, you know, and then there's conditioning holding the football. We're just going to pull away, and she's going to, well, in this case, she's going to be on her butt.
Yeah, I know.
And steamroller comes by.
And that I thought, God, when is the earliest time I could ever remember this experience. You know? And it came up to me just remembering being about 5 years old and being outside. I lived in the country when I was really, really young. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like my mom was always saying, get out of the house, get out of the house. You know? And so I probably drove her crazy. I probably spun her around. I don't know what was going on, but anyway. And I remember making a decision that I was going to walk to the woods because I knew there were flowers there, and I wanted to go to the woods and see the flowers. Well, I went off to the woods by myself, and this was a little kid, and visited the flowers, you know, and came back, and then to my horror, you know, halfway back, here's my mother just screaming at me, you know, like, where are you? You know, she's been screaming and calling for me and couldn't find me. And here I was in the woods with the flowers, just like la-di-da. You know, I was just, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, you know. There's the outside.
I was outside. I was like seeing the flowers, and, you know.
Well, that's so perfect, isn't it? I mean, just there in her innocence, just going out, because that's what she wanted to do, and coming back, no clue that this was going to happen, or that her mother was worried, or even that such a thing were possible.
Right.
That, and then just getting this really strange reaction that probably just made no sense whatsoever to her.
Yeah, and it was like at that, it was one of those times like, well, I guess I can't. I think, you know, there was a decision made or a belief, you know, that, oh, I guess I can't do what's fun or, you know.
Right.
And I was seeing this morning that a kid with a different karma might have actually gone in the house and said, hey, Mom, I think I'm going to go see the flowers, or, you know, I'm going to the woods, or you want to go to the woods, or whatever.
Yeah.
But this kid, no. She just, like, she takes off to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course, no one can blame her for doing that either, you know.
Yeah.
But that, so going outside, you know what I mean? It's easy to think now that, okay, yeah, if I had known about it, I would have gotten my mother, and we would have gone together to get the flowers. You know, I would practice clear communication.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and no blame for her, because she just, I mean, she was really sweet. And, and I don't know, I just wondered if there was also some other stuff going on there, knowing of, even at that age, that, like, those folks in that house didn't want to go. They didn't want to go to the woods.
Right.
They didn't want to go look at flowers. They didn't want to sing and dance. They didn't want to do.
They just wanted you out of the house.
They just wanted me out of the house.
Uh-huh. But not too far.
Not too far. Uh-huh. And that, you know, she'd already decided to, you know,
right.
Yeah, don't communicate with them, because it's not going to get you where you want to go. Just,
that's right.
Just, it's kind of that, you know, do and don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Just go look at the flowers, and then whatever happens, happens.
Uh-huh.
You know, so just looking at that and seeing how that is still operational. Mm-hmm. You know, so
don't ask.
Check it out. It's probably, you know, what you want to do is probably not going to be met with any acceptance or support or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of rationale that would come in now.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a result of something like that would happen. Like, don't try to get support. Don't try to ask for help. Don't try to say what you're going to do, because it's going to be pointless. The people on the other side of that are going to be receiving this information are not going to be enthusiastic about it, supportive of it. Not going to maybe even let you go and get flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, but like somehow, again, it's that us and me and them and sort of thing, that whatever my heart feel, you know, whatever sings to my heart is not going to be understood or, you know, accepted or whatever.
Yeah, it's so easy to see how conditioning is doing that to us now. Like it doesn't, we don't even need someone else out there to be saying no to. It's saying the same thing. Like in your experience with the phone, it's like that would be the equivalent of the, well, you know, some retreatant's long arm just shot over and hit the off button on that, or
yeah,
because there she was. She just
yeah.
going off in her innocence again. You know,
right.
just,
yeah, it was clearly that kid mm-hmm. who was just like, yeah, she was on an outing,
uh-huh.
you know, and she was, and
didn't wake up in the morning thinking that, well, I'm going to really, like, mess this
right.
up.
Right,
you know, I'm
right.
going to not turn this phone on and make everybody just miserable.
Yeah. But I guess that, you know, just the part that I'm feeling excited about is just seeing that. I don't think I've ever seen in a way that how that process has just played out over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I've known that every time I am doing something that I feel kind of good about, there is this underlying sickening dread, like, you know, what's going to happen? Something's going to, because I'm feeling good about this and I'm doing, there's something that's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. Somebody's going to, you know, I'm going to cause a misery.
Right.
I can't do something that I feel good about and not cause a misery for someone.
Well, it's like that conclusion that just gets reached, isn't it? It's like what the little kid going out getting the flowers had. You know, I can't just go out and do this anymore because something's going to happen like this.
Right.
So automatically there's this looking around, like, and I would imagine like a I don't want to feel good. I don't want to do these things that are going to set me up for, you know, having an experience of things not working out. I'm going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this is going to turn into something really ugly. The shoe's going to drop.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have given up things that are like really, really something that this person really wanted to do
mm-hmm.
because it seemed to be making another person miserable that I was doing that mm-hmm. or, you know.
Yeah.
And just giving these things up for sometimes years at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the excitement is, you know.
Yes.
Knowing that, you know, first of all she wanted to go, well, okay, now I know how to fix it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that that's, you know, it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But also seeing that I can be with this person and keep watching.
Yes.
And that it doesn't have to be the end of...
No.
And could be the beginning.
Could be the beginning
of doing, you know, what is fun and exciting and supportive for this person.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yes. Yeah. That it's not an end; it's a beginning. That now, if I'm hearing what you're saying, is that now there's the possibility of having an adult step mm-hmm. into the picture. The adult that would have been there, that could explain how things work. You know,
yeah.
Like you could have been there for the person
yeah.
who came back with flowers and was getting yelled at, or
yeah.
could have been there in the first place to explain what going out meant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And would get in between the conditioning that's going to come in and
yeah.
ruin the party, because that's where the party gets ruined, isn't
that's
it?
That's where it gets ruined, yeah, because there is no mentor available, no one to really deal with that.
Yeah, so all that happens is the conclusion gets reached that having fun and being excited and going out on an adventure equals really bad stuff happening.
Bad stuff happening over and over and over.
Yeah, and the really bad stuff happening has been internalized now. It's,
yeah.
it's this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're stepping in between.
Yeah.
Not allowing that kid to be on the receiving end of that, because that's the payoff for the whole thing.
Yeah. And I did have to say that yesterday I did. There was a mentor that let her know that it wasn't. That she was good. She was good. She did, you know,
right.
that she was loved no matter what.
Yeah.
You know. And you know, there was that element of self-hate that didn't want that. But there was the other young part that definitely did. Was there was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me know that. And,
yeah.
So, anyway, I'm having a good day.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting. So thank you.
Thank you.
I guess, you know, I was just thinking as you were saying that weren't there lots of other ways that it's been 100 years since I've seen Roadrunner.
Well, I know me too, but I mean, there's just, you know,
when
you got instant dynamite and like holes, you know, this
so
and
Roadrunner got set up, right? Wiley folks. Wile E. Coyote was the one who did all the stuff, right?
He was trying to get that Roadrunner all the time, no matter what.
So when you said that, I thought, God, it's a training film, really, because the one that flashed through was that imaginary hole.
Imaginary hole, yeah.
That's my favorite, too.
In the middle of the thing and then go down it.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that was my favorite one. And I just thought, God, that so describes it. I'm right there with the moving from the really, really suffering with it to kind of excited about it.
Uh-huh.
Like, wow, all right, I went down that hole again. I was like, wait, do that again.
That's right.
You know, it just seems like, because when I go down the hole, of course, it's that hole is as real as if it were real.
Yes.
But it's not real.
Right.
And so I've had some opportunity to go down a familiar hole. And I would say it's as far as I'm aware of in my life thus far, it's the most painful hole that I go down. Mm-hmm. And I'm right there with a thank you, because there's been with it a little bit of that attitude of like, okay, wait, one more time, do it again. And the thing that works to my benefit, if I see it that way, is it truly does trigger me every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, hole gets thrown in the middle of the road, I'm going down it.
Uh-huh.
I don't seem to go around it. You know, I just go down it.
Right.
So, but anyway, I've had so much gratitude, which of course is sort of an irony, I'm not sure that's the word, but because with the gratitude and the interest,
yeah,
it's not suffering.
Right, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it's back to that place of the experiences going back and forth, really, really being in the hole, really, really in the suffering, seeing it, interested, grateful that I'm interested.
Yes.
Grateful that there's that shift, grateful that practice offers me that tweet that came out, I think it was yesterday, that said something like, sensations in the body don't cause suffering, the meaning we put on the sensations do.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. That's it. I got a wallpaper the hole.
All the way down, you can read it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that's all it really is. I mean, the sensations can all be the same, the mm-hmm. experience can be exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
but the awareness that this is what's going on,
mm-hmm.
that the meaning is what's causing the suffering,
mm-hmm.
and gratitude for being able to see it for what it is rather
yeah.
than making it to be anything different.
Yeah, and I guess partly because it is so painful, there's, you know, depending on where I am and kind of who I'm identified with, if you will, of course, when I'm identified with that person, there's the, I really don't want this to happen anymore. And when I'm more feeling like the mentor, I can see it's okay, it's completely fine, and I'm motivated to make a difference for that person.
Yes. It's almost like the whole, I don't know if this is what you mean by that, but it's almost like this whole thing is an opportunity for this person to be with that mentoring as this thing is going on.
Yeah.
And that, who knows, this whole thing may have just been there to allow you to to continue to call you to access that place.
Yeah,
to be able to not have that person go down that hole anymore, or by herself.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not the, okay, this is, because that actually, that's one of the things, funny thing about that really assisted me in making the shift was realizing that what was happening going down the hole was, no, I don't have to go down here, I don't have to go down here, I don't,
uh-huh.
no, change, it doesn't have to be this way, okay, whoa,
mm-hmm.
don't do that, don't,
yeah,
which is a big, huge, resistance, don't
yeah.
want this, push it away,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing that what's happening in that is an I is created to
mm-hmm.
to prevent that from happening,
mm-hmm.
and of course, once there's an I here, that's guaranteed. That is headed in a suffering direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so see, the shift was, right, yeah, this always happens, there's nothing to be done about it. Nothing to be done about it. There is simply practicing being with it. And that, I think, is the thing that allows it to be interesting and sort of that bring it on. Like,
yeah, right.
Do that again.
Do that again so I can see this again.
Yeah.
It's just a shift, and it's not supposed to happen that way.
Yeah, it's not supposed to happen that way. And, you know, it's funny because this morning, so part of it is involves anxiety, sensations that I would label anxiety. And this morning, I was doing something, and I realized I was anticipating something tiny, this little tiny thing to happen that morning that was good, if you will, for lack of a better word. And I felt that sensation start to rise. It's just anticipation. And yet, when I have that, when it gets attached to the, quote, bad thing, and that train gets going, it can get crazy.
Yeah.
Just, the sensation builds, the meaning builds, the stories build, the...
You could almost just see yourself going down that hole.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hole again.
That's the hole again,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I think I saw Todd's hands in the video.
I'm really appreciating the early conversations because this very similar situation happened yesterday. I got to see two really big chunks of karma, and of seeking guidance and taking responsibility. Two big areas of my life for so long where, I went a little unconscious yesterday. Just for a second, and brushed by the dining
room. Just a second?
Just for a second. Most of the day I was aware, but no, it's usually the opposite. And those cattails and bulrushes that we have on that dining room table, I brushed by them and knocked them over, and I didn't realize this. Well, I kind of did, because I have them right behind my house. In the fall, it's sort of like a little brown snowstorm when the wind blows. Well, they explode when they're really dry. They really explode. And they exploded all over the dessert table.
That's what that was.
And I was alone in the dining hall because the roll-up table hadn't gone out. No retreatants were in there. I was absolutely alone. And it was just like absolute slow motion. All these things occurred. I went, oh, my God, I've ruined lunch. Then I look around and another part comes in and goes, oh my God, no one's here, let's go. The wind blew it. You know, I'm taking responsibility. And we're out the door, let somebody else clean up the mess. Then somebody else comes in and says, but that's kind of not why we're here. Kind of what this training period is about is maybe taking responsibility and seeking guidance. You know, it was so amazing, all these little things going on. And then another person came in and just stood back and just thought, that is the funniest thing I've ever seen. There's just this pile of fluff and see all over the brownies, all over the floor, and then it's continuing to spew. It's just like a little volcano of cattail. It's amazing. And this person's just watching it, and then there's another person saying, we got to do something. Someone's going to come in the door. Let's do something. Let's either bail or take responsibility and see. Well, this practice works because the mentor came in and said, well, just grab the brownies. We'll go to the cook and seek guidance, and then we'll just come back and we'll just see what happens. And it was really cool. So I go to the cook, which is a really tough thing for a real small part of me who could never go to someone in who would be able to offer guidance. And I just said, the cattails fell on the brownies, which happened. I didn't have to go into, I knocked over the cattails. Now the cook knows, but that's all right. May I have some guidance? And he... Well, and then I saw somebody come in and project, oh, my God, the cook just, what the heck? You ruined the brownies. You ruined it was really funny to see that. Because something immediately came in. But I wasn't buying it because the mentor was quite present. And he just said, I'll take care of it. No worries. So that was done. Great. And then I grabbed a countercloth and I went back out. And then I grabbed the vase and it continued to just, Mount Vesuvius. It was just like, oh my goodness, I'm now, the whole dining hall is going to be full of fluff if I don't do something. And then it just so funny. If you're there, life tells you what to do. Well, just take it outside, because that's where they started. That's probably where they want to go back. They want to return to nature. So just go outside, and then I came back in, and then it occurred to me, well, write a note, because that's the things I don't do. I don't seek guidance. So I wrote a note, blah, 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 that they're outside because they're fluffing, and they're seeding, and blah, blah. So I did that. It was great. And I cleaned up the table, and it was okay. And for anyone who had brownies yesterday, it only affected a couple. So I believe they were set aside, meticulously sterilized. Everything was great. I had a brownie. and I'm here today. And so I didn't smile. I don't want to be concerned about that. And then I watched how conditioning wanted to come in and make it that huge thing, because the sensations came up. Because the little ones were like, oh my God, we're in trouble. There's going to be a flood of notes after this. You know, I'm going to be called out. Someone saw through the window that it was me that did it. Uh-huh. Or they can put the pieces together because I'm the one cleaning up the whole mess. And no, it was just the mentor came in and said, I'm not buying it. No meetings. You can try. But I'm not going to let these little ones who have. Because when I was young, if we knocked over a lamp and it broke, we ran. We were in the woods looking at flowers when mom was screaming at us. Uh-huh. Who broke the lamp? I don't know. I took no responsibility as a child, because when I did take any responsibility early on, there was so much H to pay, heck to pay.
Yes.
It was never, ever, for in my young experience, fruitful to own up to responsibility.
Right. Well, it's no wonder when we get the kind of responses that we right. get to life.
In a real beating.
Right.
Not a verbal beating. We got a physical beating.
Yeah.
Bad one.
Yeah. So it's, again, back to the equation, saying that I did that yep. equals this experience.
Right.
So it's not too much of a stretch to figure out, like,
yeah.
this happens, don't say anything about right. it. Get out the door.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Get out the door. Mm-hmm. Let someone in. I had a brother and a sister, and it was just so funny to see. Often we were just each taking someone else's fall. It was like, we wouldn't own up to it often, and there's like, oh, it was your brother. And then I'm like, oh my God, okay, he's taking it for my fault this time. The next time I would take my sister's fall. It was just this. Oh, absolute crazy chaos, chaotic.
Well, what you saw was available to you is the opportunity to just allow someone actually being an adult to come
exactly
in.
Exactly what you were saying earlier.
Say, this is what happened.
It happened. Mm-hmm. Let's just seek guidance. Mm-hmm. Take responsibility, seek guidance, see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it was all fine. It was all fine. It was very funny, though. To a very small part of me, it was very funny. It was very fun to go through that experience.
Well, when we can get a distance away from it,
when we're not in it, and we're not the one that thinks they're going to be punished severely, it's very, very, it was very humorous. So it was good. Practice works, in my experience.
Yeah, and if a camera had been rolling, it would have been right there on, television for everyone to see and laugh at.
Funniest home videos.
That's what they call them.
Is that what they call them? I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. But I may want to talk price. Who knows?
Yeah, well, it's like almost everything that folks have been sharing, throughout the week and stuff like that about all these things that are happening. It's like, it takes a little stepping back in order to see it. But it's like in the cosmic scheme, it's just like, dear God, nothing's worth getting a beating over.
No.
That practice is about getting here and finding that person who can understand. That's true.
Yeah. They were excellent brownies, by the way. Just dynamite brownies. Even with a few little fluff seeds on the one I had, which was just appropriate. I actually had a couple of mine in experience, so thank you.
Well, I was just going to add, when we were talking about the whole, I have this image of, like, for me, I don't know, a lot of the times, not all the time, but it's like the, I fall into the whole, in front of a whole crowd of people watching. And whether it is or not, of course, my whole crowd of people are watching, but a lot of times... There are others, and there, down in the hole it's like, not only do I have to, this conditioning feels like it has to, or I feel, however it is, to, do the practice to, just to come back and all, there's that added effect of, but everybody knows.
Everybody's
kind of like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but the beauty of this practice for me is, I climb up out of the hole and peek around, it's like either everybody's cheering or they're not even looking. They're going to look at the
one hole.
Yeah, and then I would be the only one concerned about that.
Yes.
And yet that's one of conditioning's really big holds on, I'm sure that's just me, but on the whole situation, because it's like,
why don't you just bury yourself in the hole?
Right.
And that would be really good.
Yeah, then that would cover it all.
Yeah. And yet, again, the beauty is, once, you know, I realize that and I can get through conditioning, the crowd of conditioning, mm-hmm. which, you know, in practice is possible, to get up and to get out and to see everybody like cheering or mm-hmm. or not even noticing to me is the beauty of it all. Mm-hmm. Because in other places, people, it seems to me, there's people who don't do a practice like this, it's like you live with that for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
There's no, like with this practice, with a breath, we're different persons and everybody around us is different persons.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship is like all that stuff never happened.
Yeah.
And but that's not the way necessarily it is.
No. People are always, if I'm hearing what you're saying, people are living their lives afraid of falling in the hole, projecting that everybody is watching them fall in the hole, and it's just a horrible experience.
And
all
then
around.
Laughing at and you laughing when you're at getting you. Out, and then you always have the stigma of someone that has fallen into the hole.
That's
so
right.
That's kind of society's way, and that's our, I suspect our conditioning's way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, to me, if I stay in conditioning, you know, that's the part that then it's just not fun. But, you know, to come on out of the hole and see the world, life and everything cheering for you, that's to me, and that's that experience that you come back to, and it's like, wow, this is great. You know, uh-huh. I want to really look at this. I want to, bring on another hole. You know, cause exactly. I like the cheering at the end.
Yeah, right.
Which I do. I get really good on it. When I come back, it's like, woo, you know, this is good.
Yeah. No, as you're describing that is the difference in the experience.
Yeah.
With practice.
It is.
Because it just points out how much of a lie the whole thing had been about you falling into a hole.
Exactly.
You know, that you had even fallen into a hole that you come out and it's like, bring on another one.
And I love the image, that's so helpful too, that the hole is basically an illusion. You know, it's just put mm-hmm. out there. As it's a fantasy, that fall into a fantasy of our own illusion.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Somehow it's on.
Thank you. Cameron.
Yeah, this has been really one of those mornings, you know, like, wow, everybody is talking about falling in the hole, and that sounds pretty familiar. It's like we're doing hole sliding these days as a group practice. it's been so inspiring to hear people's how people are working with it, you know, and that the parts of it about being excited to see it and the possibility of something different being possible because of the awareness of how this happens, you know. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just going along and falling whole, you know, then it's very believable that, wow, you know, there's holes out here in life and I got to be vigilant and never do that again and I'm a fool if I fall in the hole and all that stuff people have said. And yet to have the attitude of mind that, wow, this happens a lot. I mean, that, you know, to see that this is something that happens in my life. And that this isn't just random, you know. There's I'm participating in some way in mm-hmm. keeping this going.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that happening? And then it becomes like that sort of excitement. Okay, now I got this piece, and now okay, uh-huh. now you know, and the whole thing too about the one I just fell in recently. I fell for the humiliation of it at the end, you know, that instead of like, oh, well, I got to it eventually, but before I got there, this piece came up was, you know, that this is just too humiliating to just keep doing this, and everybody sees it, and I'm just keep stepping into it, and why am I not seeing it? And it's just too humiliating, you know. And okay, add that piece into the process. That's part of the process. That's part of the pieces that of the illusion that conditioning has put that hole out there.
Yes, yeah, that's the experience that you end up having, is the humiliation. It's that there's something is humiliating you at that particular point where you realize that's going on, that everybody else is seeing it, but you're not.
Yeah.
And that equals you need to be humiliated about
that. Yeah, that somebody is just missing something that's so obvious, you know. But, you know, it's obvious when it's obvious.
Right. Yeah. I bet you see lots of things that are obvious that other people are just...
like, certainly. It's so much easier to see other people's...
Of course.
Yeah, because, you know, there's not all that stuff going on.
Exactly.
But yeah, and so the... just keeping building the... building the awareness of, you know, and the willingness to, okay, you know, just be with those parts. I mean, that whole thing of, I can't have what I want because it's going to end up, I can't even want what I want. I can't even know what I want. Let's go all the way back.
Go back, because it's not okay to even want.
Yes, because it's going to end up in this place where I have to suffer because I had the nerve, the absolute nerve to think that, And so, just to keep going on it, just to keep nibbling away at it, just to keep, okay, bring it on, let's see what we get this time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that when you have the attitude of like, okay, this is where the humiliation comes in, just being able to like, okay, this is part of it, bring that in. And it's like, once that can get included into it, then there's, I see, this is all part of it. And then you start getting interested, like it's been described this morning, this is part of it. It's not excluded from it. And so you get to see more and more stuff.
More and more stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's that ability to, now we're here. Okay, I see.
That's right.
Oh, and this time the humiliation... rather than humility, which, you know, is a part of it too. You know, it brings in great humility. But following that was an absolute physical draining of all energy. I mean, I've heard Sherry talk about depression and despair. Mm-hmm. I could not lift my foot to walk. I mean, I would just fall just lay down and just, I mean, I had absolutely nothing. And that is all kind of new for me, you know, so it's made it feel really real, like there must be something, this must be something I need to stop or something, I'm going to die or something, I can't even get up. And, okay, add that to the chart. This is one it hasn't tried like this before, this is a new one, okay, add that to the process map.
So lots of pieces are coming together as you're doing this.
Yeah, and the part I don't think there is a cheerleader in this thing that's been mapped already, but the whole part about just putting it in there, the big part, the awareness and the excitement part, and making sure that continues to be something that is part of this, that keeps the looking, the willingness kind of, squirt a little WD-40 in the willingness gear there.
Yes. Yeah, because that's going to be essential for you as you go through this to have some awareness that this is all happening. It sounds like you already have because of all the things you're seeing as you're laying it all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the one part that I'm seeing this time is that a lot of times, you know, seeing it releases a lot of energy and has a lot of good feelings with it. Mm-hmm. And then there's and I saw this before, I reported on this, and I'm kind of following up with seeing that it happened again, where seeing it seems like the end, but it's not. It's just really the beginning of working with it and getting to know these people that are involved, all these different sub-personalities that sweet, innocent one, the one with the chip on his shoulder, and the one, yeah, all of them, and taking care of them and knowing them when they're, yeah.
It's one more opportunity for you to see it and to embrace all of that.
Yeah, and not just have an intellectual concept of it and have
exactly.
a picture on a paper and say, well, that's a good exercise.
Whoop, there's a hole.
Yeah, there's a hole.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Rather than having that kind of relationship with it, it sounds like you're having a relationship with it. Other folks are talking about it, like, bring on the hole. You know, I want to see this now. And when you have the acceptance and the WD-40, as you described, then you have the tools that you have available to you to encounter all sorts of holes.
Yeah, and the ability to embrace it as it's going on. The people that have been ignored through the whole thing. I don't want to have this experience. I don't want you to be here. You're the wrong person, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that just keeps the whole thing going, I can see. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Oh, I can hold this little one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can let her know it's okay. And she's feeling that. Well, that's just feeling a different experience than just kind of seeing it on a piece of paper.
Yeah, a piece of paper and actually living it out in a way that leaves you unsupported in any kind of way.
Yes.
It just leaves you
stuck
in a world in which you're avoiding holes, you're... playing small or whatever that happens along with it. Suffering along with it.
Suffering.
Penny, did I see your hands? I see.
We did. I wanted to put in a pitch for Practice Works. and also there's still lots of holes left. But we were away for a number of weeks traveling with some people, and the last time we were doing a trip, it was a walking trip in England, and the last time we were doing a trip like this was about 5 years ago. And so, you know, when you do something that you did a number of years ago, you have a chance to see ways in which you're doing it differently. And I was just struck over and over and over on the walk at how many opportunities there are to suffer, and being clear, being very aware of at least most of them. I mean, I didn't have the experience of suffering in this trip, and being aware that I could choose not to, you know, and how hugely freeing that is, and how little energy it takes, you know. I mean, suffering takes a lot of energy, but just seeing, oh, I could go there, but I'm not going to, doesn't take much energy.
Right.
So that was really fun, and I just wanted to relate one experience that was especially kind of wonderful, and it was. And I was aware that it was operating without urgency. And so we had this one day plan that was supposedly like a 12-mile day that we found out was actually a 25-mile day and over a pass. So we realized we couldn't do that. And so we had a plan to go partway by taxi and then go to the pass, but the weather was awful. And so there were these three other people we were traveling with. And in the course of the day beforehand, it was just so interesting. We just kind of kept putting out there, well, this is what's going on. And kept looking at the maps and kind of looking at possibilities. And I remember just having this trust that something would emerge that would work. And partway through the evening, a couple of people came up with a whole different idea about how to achieve that, what to do the next day. And it was just perfect, you know? And so we all regathered, you know, with the maps and everything, and we talked about it, and everybody just kind of said, "All right, okay." And it was so lovely because, nobody felt like a decision was forced on them. Nobody felt like I was deprived of something. Everybody participated in that kind of mulling process, and the trust that something would emerge. Was you know, born out. I mean, it just emerged, and I project that had we been coming from urgency, which we could well have been, urgency on two grounds. One is that we had this hike we couldn't make, and two that, you know, as planners of the trip, you know, it would have been a failure, and just it just wasn't that just wasn't part of it. And so we had this lovely day, this lovely alternative day. And it all worked out differently. And it just, I was just aware through the whole thing of practicing.
Practicing, because it could have gone whole lots of different ways.
Yeah. And that practicing creates a different life experience for sure. Because we've been in similar kinds of situations in the past that were painful. And this just was, oh, what are we going to do? And then all together we did it. So it was just a, you know, it was just such a wonderful experience of how practice really does make life clearer and simpler and easier.
Yeah, well, it takes no energy, you described it.
Yeah.
That suffering takes all the energy. It takes everything and turns it into something that's really difficult and...
Yeah.
So it's not necessary.
Yeah.
It's, the way you described it, it made it sound like, well, there's what you had, and so what can you do now?
Yeah. And just trusting that as a group, it would just emerge. Mm-hmm. And it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's just really funny, because so conditioning had very little place to go on this trip. Mm-hmm. You know, it just was... And so it was just so funny, because as I was walking down here this morning, I was just watching conditioning running around and say, well, and I don't like that about the monastery, and I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't approve of that, you know, because it's, you know, it's trying to regroup.
Right. we thought we left you behind over there.
It's just it hasn't had much of a chance for 3 weeks, and just watching it try to, you know, catalog its grievances again was just funny, you know, because... Uh-huh. It's doing its best to get back in the picture. And all the energy it takes to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The cataloger of grievances.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, what's coming to me as we've been talking this morning is that if a hole is thrown down and the aspect of myself that doesn't react to that hole is there, it doesn't do any good. But if the whole matches who's here, there's trouble.
The right person for the right hole.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because, you know, before we left to go away, I was in my, which often happens to me around here in the summer particularly, you know, it's the whole is, I don't like this, I don't like where I live, I don't like what I'm doing, I get up in the morning and fall right in the hole, and so being away for a considerable amount of time in a very different place with very different weather, different people, different activities, the person who falls in the I don't like this hole wasn't there, because the person who was there liked it, you know. So there were times actually when something came up that was not the way, you know, was not something I would choose, or was not ideal, but there was no one to fall down any hole about I don't like this, because the person who was there was just loving everything. And it occurs to me that if she's there, no matter where we are, you could throw down the I hate this hole, and there would be no one there to go down it.
Right. Well, the hole is only there for...
Exactly. For the one who will go down it. And so it occurs to me that so much of my attention gets focused on the whole. And, you know, all the conditions of the whole. Mm-hmm. But it just occurs to me as we're talking today that when I see the whole and I'm hating it and not wanting to go down it, the attention ought to be on who's here rather than the whole. Mm-hmm. Rather than what I'm being told about the particular circumstances that are drawing me into the whole.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's very clear to me that that person who loves it and wants to be here and loves life and what she's doing can be here anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of where your attention goes, it sounds like. Because if your attention is here with I'm just enjoying it, this is exactly, then you can watch how your attention can get drawn over to the whole and everything that it wants, you know, wants to be brought up down there to bring you into it. Mm-hmm. And if
you say, well, that's interesting, but
not interesting. Not that interesting.
I'm not great, but I'm not I'm not going there.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's really, and that, you know, it's just, it's, you know, kind of a related part of that, it was, what I was saying is that someone had this belief that the reason why I love what I'm doing when we're gone so much is because of the simplicity of it, that there's nothing to do but get up and move your body through space to another place, and there's no other, you know, phone calls or emails or committee meetings, or, you know, someone had the belief that the reason why I love it so much is because it just is so simple. What really came to me since I've been back is that what makes it, in a way, what makes it simple is there aren't a lot of things to draw my attention away from where I am in the moment. But that even when I'm back where there are things that could draw my attention away from the moment, I don't have to go with them. I only am doing what I'm doing in this moment, and that's really very simple.
Yes. Yeah. You are always doing exactly that.
That's right. I'm only getting up in the morning and getting to the end of my day. That's all I'm doing every day. Uh-huh. It's really quite simple.
Yeah, that is a very interesting perspective shift, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
And it doesn't stop from conditioning to keep pointing out that there's something that you need to draw your attention to.
Absolutely not.
As we always talk about, you never need to leave here to go over there. This can come, you know, the emails, the work, the whatever, but you don't have to leave there.
Yeah, I really noticed that when we were sitting this morning, it was just like, bing, this one, what about that one? You did forgot about that one. You should do that today, you know.
Okay.
I said, oh, yeah, I recognize this.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm just sitting here, okay?
Yeah. It's not a lot of places it can go if you just say, okay.
Right.
Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Dave.
Just real quick, along the lines of what people are saying, this thing that came through recently, I think it was in a most recent blog from Sherry, or one of the most recent. And I wrote it down and stuck it on my desk because I really want to remember it. It went something like, if you don't believe that you're somebody that things are happening to, then nothing ever happens to you. I just love that. Because it's just so true.
Yes.
I aspire to a life where nothing ever happens to me from in that kind of way, because I talk about freedom and not needing to suffer.
Yeah, because I understand it takes someone to be that in order. I mean, if I am that, then that those things will happen to me because I'm a person who that happens to. It's like sometimes we talk about the perfectionist. It's like in order for that person to be there, I have to be looking for things that are wrong.
Yeah, well, even if they're still happening. But they're, you know, they're. If I don't think I'm the person they're happening to, they're not happening to me.
That's right.
It's like it's happening over here someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with you.
Right. Now, of course, there's lots of places where I do believe I'm the person something is happening to, mm-hmm. and you know, really, that kind of the thing that's helpful about that is it's really painful, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of motivation to see if I really want to be that somebody.
Right.
But that's happening too. Because, of course, I don't. I'd much rather be someone who loves and appreciates and cares for him than to be him.
Yeah. Well, to be able to see that and know that that's a choice for you to be that instead. It's almost like don't be this. But there's also an opportunity for choosing something else that is supportive of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is only available, of course, if I'm not him.
Right.
Like we say all the time.
Yeah.
So just really grateful for the practice. I always get that after we do there's nothing wrong with, mm-hmm. nothing wrong with your treat if I can facilitate it, because I have, I get such an insight into just what conditioning really is, mm-hmm. and how it works. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's people in the retreat who, you know, do a lot of practice, not our practice, and don't really have the tools. And it's really interesting to see how important it is that we have the tools that we have in our practice, because without them, we don't. There's nothing we can do, really. We're sort of like just like a leaf in the current. We just have to hope everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, and it's the way you're describing it. It's so dependent on how things work out. You know, it's so conditional that just that we could be a leaf on the current and have practice, and it's we.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, even like in the retreat, to watch people get disidentification. Mm-hmm. And to realize for the first time that they don't, that there is a somebody who is suffering they don't have to be.
That's right.
I mean, that is just enormous.
Yeah.
I remember this one guy in this retreat was talking about it. It's like, you know, I didn't know that. I had no idea. And he wasn't a young guy. You know, I had no idea. I've been living my whole life thinking I was him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. And it's just this little piece of information there that's missing. He said, oh, wait a second. I can disidentify. I don't have to be him.
Yes.
And that just changes. It just changes everything.
Yeah, I don't have to be the person that something is happening to. I'm not the person that anything is happening to. Bing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just a lot of gratitude for the tools, and that by whatever, you know, great good fortune, you know, I have and we all have stumbled on, and Sherry has created these ways that we can look at and see and really see what's going on.
And we have availed ourselves of and continue to keep practicing despite everything that's coming in to say, look over here, here, and don't stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true too.
Jane.
Well, that was very helpful. Talking, you know, I've been talking about this cycle that I'm in every day, this battering cycle, success in the morning, failure by the time I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I just realized that I wake up every morning as a somebody to which something has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And my efforts to get out of the cycle have been to just turn it all into success.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working. last Sunday when I talked about it, I felt really good. Boy, yeah, program is, it's going to work. It's going to be really different. My life's going to be really different now. It hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So there's somebody here trying to fix June, trying to hang on to one side of the duality, and it's so clear that I go to bed being someone to whom something has happened, and I wake up in regret for that, and you know, it sounds like a murder kittens and eating.
In the middle of the night, June turns into a werewolf.
it's not nearly as grievous as perhaps I make it sound. That was just really helpful.
Uh-huh. And what part was really helpful?
Oh, to see that the two things that. What the process I've been trying to do is hang on to one side of duality.
Right. Yes.
And the other aspect is being as someone. Yeah, this is all very I-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very illusion of separation-centric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's what we start off looking at. It's like the setup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like, okay, it's all going to be success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that I've seen that this morning, I'm going to go out there and be successful.
You're going to go out there and
be successful. Change who and how I am to the person I should be.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just like you can see the football being put right out again.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be a failure. all day long. I'm going to fail at everything.
That's a good idea. Yeah, jump in that hole.
What's that?
Jump in that hole. Mm-hmm. See what that's like. Mm-hmm. See how much humiliation and self-hate can come, you know.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
That's right. Yeah. Those cattails are going to be falling on everything in your house.
Yeah.
That's our time. Thank you. Mm-hmm.